Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Well, we appreciate you being here. He must have told somebody that I was going to be here. So other than Donna, she had to go down, and Brother Donnie were not able to come. But it's just, what's her name again?
Betty.
Sister Betty, I hope she's not sick, but I think we ought to pray for her anyway. Can you reach it?
Yes.
It's just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I've been looking forward to this, and I don't know why that God just blessed my heart when they called me. And I'm thankful for that, but I hadn't preached since I was here the last time. So what is that, 3 or 4 weeks? Something like that? Anyway, I'll say 4 weeks, okay? That helped me a little bit. Been 4 weeks since I preached. So I was thinking, you know, I heard this little story one time, and it said, what do you do when you come to the house of the Lord and number a few there? I said, it's just like feeding the cows. Just give them the whole load. Amen. So I'll just give you the whole load this morning. I love you in the Lord, and I hope you know that. I tell you, a good bunch of people, and don't take that and get big-headed. That's just, the Bible says something that I'm going to use in a few minutes. I'll just wait and use it in a few minutes. But the Bible tells us that we're to humble ourselves before God. Now, if we're to humble ourselves before God, you can't get big-headed, can you? No, that don't work. It don't work. So you might as well forget that. Be humble and stay humble before the Lord, and God will bless you for it. God will use you if you want to be used. Some people just don't want to be used, and God don't use them if they don't want to be used. So just remember that too. Can you hear me all right? I just want to make sure. I was going to tell you a while ago, you knew Brother Sam Allen, didn't you? You knew he passed away. Okay. There's so many pastors and preachers that have passed away since this virus. Now, I don't know that all of them were like that. In other words, I don't know if all of them had the virus. I don't know. But I do know there was a couple of them did. One didn't pass away that had it. And yeah, I heard that he was doing real good from it. So praise the Lord for that. And what's that? And the guy's Pilot Mountain.
Brother Fry? Is that the one you're talking about?
Fry, yeah. I was thinking somebody else, but that's who I was trying to think of. Noah Fry, yeah. I could tell you something on him, but he's not here, so I don't think I'll do it. But anyway, he went to a revival one time, and he had a little Volkswagen. Y'all remember that Volkswagen? Anyway, he had a little Volkswagen, and he put it behind, he hooked the trailer up and put it up on the trailer. And I don't remember what he was driving. I think it was a camper or whatever. Anyway, when he got where he was going, he found out that he didn't cut the Volkswagen off. And it ruined the whole time he was coming. So I thought that was cute. And I kind of had to joke with him about it when I see it. He left his Volkswagen running the whole time he's on the road with the camper. But don't you say nothing to him about it if you know him that well. Unless you just don't tell him who told you.
Then,
Brother Milton Farmer passed away, and I don't know if y'all know him or not, but he was one of the preachers that came to our fellowship. He passed away, and somebody told me he had that virus. So what I'm telling you this is for pray for those families. God knows what he's doing. And sometimes it's kind of hard to understand some things that happen. Because the preachers that I know preached the word of God. And they didn't hesitate about it at all. Of course, you know, some of them were gone. And somebody will take their place, I'm sure. But, you know, taking their place is going to be hard to do. Because preachers today, like me, don't preach like they did. I try to do what I can. And I was talking a while ago, and Bill said something about somebody talked instead of preached. Or in other words, he was saying that he was kind of mild-minded, I guess. And so... you know, I'm sort of like that in a way. Sometimes I am, and sometimes I get excited. And you know, I'm excited this morning. I really know that I'm running my mouth and I should be preaching. But I'm going to try to sing you a song that'll go along with some of this, okay? And before I get into it, if I can get it going. You know, my wife put a sign up in the bathroom, right beside the shower. It's all right for you to sing in the shower. And I look at it, I have to look at that thing every time I take a shower. But anyway, I think what she's trying to tell me, I sound pretty good in the shower, but nowhere else. But anyway, when we get in a situation like we're in now, as far as viruses going around, you know, and we're all having problems, and you know, we need a touch from God, don't we? We need to trust him. So I'm gonna try to sing this song. Shackled by your heavy burden, need the load of guilt and sin, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. I was going to say this a while ago, Nancy. I thought you did a great job on that song, and I appreciate you singing it this morning. It meant a lot to me. I could hear you singing and the words while I'm sitting up here. But if you'd been back out, I might not have been able to do so. So I just appreciate you singing that song this morning. And also the song that we sung or tried to sing. And Brother Bill talking about us singing a solo. If you want to sing a solo with me, come on up here and we'll sing it now. Okay.
I got myself in trouble, didn't I?
Come on. It's an old song, and I want them to listen to the words of it, okay? If they don't listen to the way we sing, Bill's is a good singer. I get in trouble when I try to sing sometimes. So just listen to the words there. And I think it'll be a blessing to you, because I don't believe our time is very long on this earth. Not anymore. Things are happening that the Bible said would happen. And we're going to a place called heaven one day. If we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. We're on our journey. So God wants us to be happy while we are on a journey. Okay? You ready?
Try. Okay. You sing, I'll watch.
No, it's not going to work that way. All right.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Listen to this now.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
You did amen. That, amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Don't you think it sounds good? Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, and I'm going to tell you now what we need to do while we're in this situation with the coronavirus and all of the other problems that we're having. I want to tell you what we're going to do, or what we need to do at least. And God's Word tells us in many places that what we're supposed to do. But I have had this on my mind for, probably several weeks. And so, got the wrong one. I had the wrong one there. And I still, we got to find it now. But anyway, I lost the place. The old devil done started already working. But you know, I've had a good time this morning so far. And you know, I still got an hour, almost an hour to go. Amen? So, there it is. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I'm sure that all of you probably could know it. You probably know it by heart. And probably could quote it without looking. But I'm going to just look this morning so that I won't miss none of it. I listen to some of the preachers on TV, and they'll be reading God's Word. And they're trying to memorize it, I believe, sometimes, or trying to quote it without looking at it, because they leave some words out, and sometimes when you leave words out, it means a whole lot, and it changes the difference of things. So listen carefully as I read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It'll tell us right straight what we're to do when we're in trouble, when we have heartaches and pains and different things. If my people, now, who's he talking to? Well, I'm going to tell you who he's talking to. He's talking to Israel. But we can take it that he's talking to us also, because this is exactly what we need to do. If my people, us, and also Israel, I'll say that. It says, if my people, and who is his people? Well, first of all, Israel is his people. But I tell you, somebody else is his people. That's us, been born again by God's marvelous grace. He said, if my people, which I call by my name, why, he wouldn't call somebody a Christian if they're not a Christian, would he? He'd tell them, he says, you must be born again if you want to be a Christian. Then I can say to you, my people, which are called by my name, who we call by his name? Jesus, right? That's not our name, but we're called by his name. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And that's what I was talking about a while ago when I was saying that we must humble ourselves. God tells us to humble ourselves, did he not? And that's what I just read. Shall humble themselves. And what else are we supposed to do? And pray, right? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's straightforward, isn't it? He'll heal our land. Think about that. That old virus bug or whatever it is going around and making a whole lot of people sick. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then what? I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. He didn't say he would heal us, did he? But he will. He was indicating that he would. He's able to do all things, is he not? Well, you know, God tells us that we're able to do all things through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that in the last days there would be perilous times. And if you look around today, you'll see what he's talking about. In the last days, there'll be perilous times, and men should be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Where are they this morning? They're not in church. They're not worshiping the Lord. They're somewhere with a boat hooked up going to the lake, or they're out there somewhere playing golf or maybe doing some other things that they shouldn't be doing. My friends, I tell you, they're not living the life that they're supposed to live by being a Christian. I realize today that we can do this if we just want to do it. God wants us to humble ourselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of the God. Now, what are we to do? We're to study God's word and be ready when you see somebody that's not saved to show them how to be saved. You say, well, they don't want to be saved. They act like they don't want to. But God can change that real quick. Through the Holy Spirit, He can convict them of their sin and give you a part in leading them to Christ. I tell you, it's not an easy job to tell somebody about Jesus sometimes, but when the Holy Spirit leads you, it makes it a whole lot easier. Because when the Holy Spirit leads you, and you're sure that the Holy Spirit leads you instead of somebody else, then you'll know that you're supposed to go there. And I'll give you an illustration. I probably told you this one time before, but I was asked to go see somebody and lead them to the Lord. They were not a Christian, in other words. And so I told this person, I said, look, I will go to see them, I promise you that. But I'm not going until the Holy Spirit leads me to go. Because to me, it really, if you go, then you might make them mad if the Holy Spirit's not leading. But I was sitting at my desk one day at work, when I worked. Everybody says the preacher don't work, but I tell you, it's a whole lot of mental work and nothing else. And I was working at Cole Chevrolet. Yes, I'm not doing that to tell you about that, but I'm because he's out of business anyway. He sold his business, now he's passed on. But anyway, I told her, I said, look, I'll come when I feel led to come. And that's the way I feel. If I do it any other time, then it's not any good. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. I know He says to humble ourselves, and I know that we're supposed to lead somebody to Christ. We'll try to anyway, but it has to be a certain time. We have to do it on God's time. Everything we do, we should do it on God's time, because it is God's time. He owns everything. Okay? But anyway, I was sitting there at work one day, and I probably shouldn't have been thinking about God's word at work at church, but somewhere or another I was. But I had already made that possible, because I had told, when I went to work there, I told him, I said, well, the Lord comes first in my life. And he smiled and he said, I understand. I told him, I said, now, secondly, my church comes. I live my family out for this purpose, so I can go when I want it. Amen. I said, the church comes second, and so therefore, if you don't mind letting me go when I need to, I'll come to work for you. That was I shouldn't have said that in a way, but I know if I didn't, then it might sometimes during the time that I was working, maybe he wouldn't like it too good if I asked him, could I get off to go to do this, that, and the other. But you know, I worked there 20-some years, and I asked him several times. Well, I really didn't ask him. I'd already asked him. But when I got ready to go, I told him, I said, I got to go here or I got to go there. He said, okay, go ahead. Well, what is it I can do for you while you're gone? I didn't expect that, but he did every time. What is it I can do for you while you're gone? I said, not a thing. So I was sitting down one day, and you probably heard this, but anyway, I'm going to tell you again. But I got the point that I want to make. And the Lord just spoke to me, and He said, look, I want you to go see Brother Son. He didn't say brother, but I call him brother because he got saved that day. I want you to go see Brother So-and-so and talk to him about Christ. I jumped up on my desk. I didn't even hesitate. I jumped up, knocked on my boss man's door. I said, I want to go somewhere. I'll be back at 12. He said, okay, what can I do for you? Where are you going? I said, nothing. I don't think he was a Christian. He told me he was, but some things he'd done, I wasn't sure. But, you know, so I don't know whether, I didn't want him to tell me he was praying for me in a certain sense, but sometimes I wanted him to tell me that. So I'd think or know that he was a Christian, you know. But he said, okay, go ahead and, you know, what you want me to do, where are you going? I said, nothing. I went, knocked on the door of this house. And a lady come to the door. She came to my church, but her husband didn't. He wasn't saved. She says, well, come on in, preacher. I've been looking for you. And she was a nervous type person, and she, you know, wanted to talk a whole lot. So she was talking, and he was sitting there in his chair. And I told her, I said, the phone rung. And I said, that's for you. And I knew just as much that when that phone rung, it was for her. And it didn't think. It was in the kitchen, so see, she's going to get out of that and let me talk to him. I got to talking to him. When I started talking to him, tears began to run down my face. I mean, his face, excuse me. I said, a great big old guy. He's bigger than Bill. Anyway, he got down in the floor and crossed his legs, and I got down there with him too, and I don't know how I'm going to get up from here, but I'm down here now, so I showed him the Bible. I said, are you saved? He said, no, sir, but I've been thinking about it all the morning. Tears running down his face. And I said, well, let me show you how to be saved. And I took God's word and my Bible and showed him how to be saved. He said, well, I said, first of all, I said, let me pray with you. And you, the best that you know how, ask the Lord to save you. And I'll help you with it. So I led him to the Lord. And it was the easiest one I've had in all of my life, probably. But I left there just rejoicing. Went back to work rejoicing. And I had told him, and I said, now, what you need to do now is you come to church Sunday. You come to church Sunday and come to the altar and tell people, what happened to you today? He said, okay. He came at Sunday. He sat there and smiled the whole time that I was preaching. It looked like he was so jittery. Found out later what he was. He wanted me to hurry up so he could get up and tell people what happened to me. He was, you know, he was ready to tell them. And he joined the church. He made a good member. He came every Sunday. But something happened the next day. He was a taxi driver. And he went and told his boss man that he couldn't carry the people. He was going to quit because he couldn't carry people to the bootlegger joint like he had been doing. He said, why? He said, I got saved yesterday. He said, I can't tell you. Wasn't that one? That was a testimony right there. So what I'm saying is he humbled himself before God. I humble myself or try to sometimes, but that's my introduction to my message this morning, and I still got an hour and 20 minutes. So don't get excited. Just sit down and listen, okay? But I'm going to use this along with this other here. And I think we probably all have a bad habit of trying to do something without reading the directions. How many of you have children? I think all of you do, don't you? Sister Taylor, you have children? Okay, and I know Brother Bill does. And I know his name's Shelby. I know Shelby does too, so all of you do. You all have children. Well, did you ever get anything for them or buy anything for them that you had to put together? Sure you did.
Yeah.
Did you get it all together right? Probably not. You know why? You didn't read the directions before you started. And I'm saying that because that's the way I was. And I think probably you would have probably the same way. You might leave out a part here or there, or couldn't get this to work right, or whatever. But that's a part of our life if we don't do what God tells us to do. We had trying to pass something or put something together without first reading the directions. Now, we dive in assuming that we are more than a match for the situation, only to find out and discover that we aren't. We then turn to the direction and we read them over and over and try to straighten up that mess we've made. Do you remember all that? Sure you do. So you see, God gave everybody directions for their lives. Did he not? Have you got a Bible with you this morning? You had to buy it, I know, or somebody gave it to you. But God sent forth the Word of God as the men of old listened to the Lord and penned down the Word of God. And we've got it today. And I believe, as I know that Brother Donnie does the same thing, this is a King James Version, if you want to know the truth. I don't use anything else. Sometimes I will maybe refer to the New King James or the NIV or something like that. I will refer to them just to see and make the you know, similarity of them. But there's been a whole lot of things in some of those words of God as not so or not truth. They're not written right. And the reason was that these people tried to write it and they weren't inspired by the Lord. The Bible tells us all doctrine is inspired by the Lord. But when you write something that's not inspired by the Lord, then it's not what I call the true Bible, okay? King James is the true Bible for us as English people today, okay? If it had been in other kind of version, I might not be able to read it. You know, I read it sometimes, and I believe that when we read it sometimes, and you don't understand it, then you need to study it again, and maybe God will give you directions for it. And I believe he'll do that for us. You see, his word shows us how to live our lives. And a lot of us have tried to put our lives together without reading those directions. And we get in trouble, don't we? I know I'm one is guilty just as much as you are. Sometimes I get to thinking about what I need to do and don't even ask the Lord what I need to do. But I'm here to tell you, we need to ask the Lord before we try to do it. Because without him, we can't do nothing anyway. It's him. Can I say it again? It's him. It's him. It's him. His name is Jesus. 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 Amen. All right, so we see here that the directions make everything fall in place sometimes. Let's see how the pieces of life put together this morning. The first thing that we're to do is look in Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." He says, "Seek the kingdom of God." So what do? The same way the Second Chronicle said, "If my people which is called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face." You see, seek my face. All right. A lot of people made a mess of their lives by not reading God's directions and putting him first. Remember that. And I know you yourself sometimes have done the same thing. I don't have about 6 pages of outlines, so it won't take long, okay? Now, first of all, when all else fails, read the directions. Read God's Word, and you get something out of it. Anybody that knows anything about building knows that you have to have a foundation and a top before you can put the roof on. Right? Well, if you try to do anything else, you're going to make a mess. Many know things about the tangible buildings, but they don't know anything about the spiritual building. And the spiritual building is more important in this day and time that we're living in than anything else that we might do spiritually. I pray a lot of times, and you know, I have to pray sometimes. God puts me in a position that I have to. And you the same way. But I pray and I use these 3 things. Bless me in my spiritual building, life. Bless me in my health, my fleshly life. And then bless me financially. And I believe God can do all 3. I was talking this morning to my wife, and she was making me a cup of coffee, and I was ready to drink it because I just got up. And we were talking about God's Word, and I've already lost my thought now. Anyway, she was giving me some good advice about spirituality. And this verse of scripture came to my heart, Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." And praise the Lord, we ought to put God first in everything. You say, how can you do that? Trust him. If you'll trust God, then he'll bless you. So seek ye him first. And all these other things should be added unto you. When we're trying to build by seeking first money, power, position, anything like that, it doesn't mean a whole lot, material things. Nothing is wrong with these in themselves, but they should take first place in our lives as Christians. Christ has to have first place in our life. So what I'm telling you this morning, the Bible tells us how we're to fit into his plan. Now, why does the Bible tell us to seek him first? Because man needs a living God to sustain him in his life. Does he not? Well, I'd hate to think of myself being without God. Wouldn't you? Well, you've all claimed to be saved, and you know that as time goes on, things get worse. It don't get any better on this earth for a Christian, because we've got a better place to go to. But God helps us through this life, and without him, we can't do nothing. When the men are in trouble, they can't play to material things, can they? Absolutely not. They cannot ignore God's direction and not put Him in first in their life and things are going good. But when their world comes tumbling down, what then? When all else fails, read the directions. God's Word. Amen. And He's got Word in this book for every part of our life. Every part. The good part, the bad part, the sick part, the death part, the all of those. He's got it. So you see, when we're in trouble, we need to pray to Him. And see, He can straighten out our mess. And without Him, we can do nothing. The first thing that we discover is that we did not start with the right foundation. So we had to get what? Saved, right? We had to have salvation. Salvation first of all. What's the result of us not seeking God first? Well, let me give you something that might help you. We don't seek God first, we have a spiritual depression. Now, when we have a depression in our heart, physically or mentally, when we have a depression in our heart, what happens? We get down, don't we? We get kind of lonesome, in other words. Okay? So we need to read God's Word. Study God's Word. Now, the Bible, God's direction, second of all, tells us how we're to fit into His plan. Directions are no good unless they can show us personally what we need to do. The devil has taught so many people that God's directions is not complicated and that you cannot understand. Well, they are complicated and you cannot understand it. So why bother to read it? This is what the devil is trying to tell us. And this is not true. The devil is a liar. And he's the father of the liars. You see, the way that we need, the Bible tells itself, in Isaiah 35, verse 8, and in highways shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Now it's easy for us to tell others how to run their lives. You ever try to tell anybody how to run their life? I have and got in trouble. The Bible gives the only direction for us and for them. You see, I want to give you a little illustration of that. There was a little boy that was walking in the woods one day. He saw a big fellow with a gun in his hand and hunting for bear. And the little boy said to the big man with the gun, "If I was big as you are, I would hunt the bears with my bare hands." You know what the big man told him? He said, "Little boy, there are a lot of small bears out here in these woods." Think about that. God's Word tells us all the big things, the small things of life that we can do to bring glory to Him. And maybe you cannot kill a big bear. Maybe you can find one your size and handle him. In Matthew 25:15 gives an example. And it says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Small things are as important as big things. or more showy things. One example, let's consider a car just for a minute. We mostly see the exterior parts, don't we? But when I got ready to come this morning, I had to push the button and it cranked. I think about that a whole lot of time. If I push that button and it didn't crank, what am I going to do? And I have done that. But all of those parts that, like the transmission and the carburetor, all of those things do their job. And even these parts would be useless without that little rotary button. So it's in the life of a person. They must follow the direction and tell us these little parts are as important as any bigger things to make his work. And the church runs smoothly with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22, the Bible says, "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. There's no big I's and little U's in God's word." I've seen a whole lot of people with that idea, but it doesn't work, does it? Not in God's work, it doesn't. No other time. It's sad, but we find that some Christians become very disheartened if they cannot be a bigger part, and so will not do anything whatsoever. But we know that although those do the smaller task do not receive maybe as much glory from people, but still they're just as important as the showy fellow and the one that wants to do all the work. And sometimes that's just to see. It takes all of us, does it not? We got a job to do, friends. And we might as well understand today that 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek their face, my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." Well, we got another hour, but I'm going to let y'all out now. Okay, in just a few minutes. But I want to tell you this morning that we need to take these verses of God's word and put them in our life and use them for God's honor and his glory. I hope I've given you some scriptures this morning. If you didn't get anything else out of my message, and I cut it all short because I probably talked too much to start with. But I just wanted to tell you that I'm standing up here and I feel a little faint, but I'm trusting God. I think my sugar dropped or whatever, but anyway, God's word is true. When he says you must be born again, when he says that heaven is going to be worth it all, he tells us in God's word that heaven, or what it's going to be, it's hard to understand it sometimes in our mind. How awesome God is. But he's a great God. He's a God that can do all things. And thank God we got that position in him. We're in him and he's in us. Amen. So, you see, we have it all. You say, well, I don't have it all. I ain't got this, I ain't got that. Well, maybe that's those material things you're thinking about. We need to think about the spiritual things. Well, God has never, ever let me go without food. In fact, I think he puts too much on the table sometimes, and I told my wife the other day, I'm going to eat it all. I may not want it all, but I eat it all. Because when I get to the table, and this ain't got nothing to do maybe with this, but when I get to the table and I start eating, I think about some of these little children out here that don't have anything to eat whatsoever. And I said, well, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not going to throw it in the trash can. So I eat it all. I make myself sick sometimes. But that's just the way I am. I wished I had a fortune that I could help people. But don't have anything to eat. Don't have any place to go. But lay there. Lay there, head on a pillow. I feel sorry for them. But I thank God that He's a God that comes around just in time. Just in time. It's His time anyway, isn't it? We're going to heaven because of God. Jesus Christ gave His only begotten Son. God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Come into this world, spent 33 and a third years, gave His life on Calvary for our sins. He was willing to do so. He said, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He said, it is finished. And it was finished. On the third day, He arose. He arose. And we're serving a living God today. We're serving one that wants to help us. And He will. And He will. He's one that's able. God's able to do all things. With that note, let's bow His. Giving you time, a little bit of time to think spiritually. Is there anything that God wants you to do this morning? Now's a good time to do it. I look at it this way. God's given us time here that we can get close to Him. You say, well, I'm close enough to Him. Well, congratulations. I've never met anybody who's close enough to Him. We all need a closer walk with the Lord. And let me say to you this morning, don't ever, ever ask the Lord to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. That's something to think about, isn't it? If you're not willing to move your feet, don't ask Him to guide you. Footsteps. Father, we come to You this morning in the name of Jesus. We just thank You, Lord, for the time that we've had. Just bring out a few thoughts of God's Word. And Lord, read God's Word and try to talk about it a little while. The best thing I know of is knowing You as my Savior. Thank You, Lord, for saving me one day, setting me free, giving me life eternal, and one day I'll be able to live with You forever and ever. As we, Brother Bill and I, tried to sing that song just a minute ago, there is coming a day, and I don't believe it's going to be very long. So we need to get closer to the Lord every time we can. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right.